You're listening to a special Veterans Day edition of The Record from KUOW. I'm Jeannie Yandel. Fewer than 1% of Americans volunteer to serve in the armed forces. So most Americans have no personal connection to anyone who went to Afghanistan or Iraq. That disconnect only magnifies the difficulty soldiers face when they come home. The new HBO documentary, Last Patrol, explores that disconnect. Two soldiers and two combat journalists walk 300 miles of railroad tracks from Washington, D.C. to Pennsylvania, trying to figure out the America they've come home to. Sebastian Younger is one of the two journalists on this last patrol. He's also the filmmaker. In recent years, Younger has told the stories of soldiers at war in documentary films, including Restrepo. Younger told my colleague Ross Reynolds that during the making of Restrepo, he worked with photographer and friend Tim Hetherington.
I stopped covering combat after my friend Tim was killed in Libya. He and I were going to do this walk together. He died, and I was suddenly faced with a situation in my life at age 50. I wasn't going to cover combat anymore after his death, and I was trying to figure out how to do something back at home that rivaled the intensity and the effort and the meaningfulness of covering a war. And what I came up with was this long, brutal slog through 300 miles of America. I say slog because we were carrying 70 pounds on our backs, and we really were basically vagrants. And that sort of challenge seemed to rival some of what I'd had in combat.
Why did you want to recreate it?
Because my experience in combat was really, in some ways, the most profound and intense of my professional life. And I knew I was going to miss it. I was very glad I'd made the decision to stop covering war, but I knew I was going to miss it. And I wanted to show to myself that there were very meaningful, powerful experiences back home as well, and I didn't have to get shot at to experience them.
Well, in fact, there's a great quote from George Washington on the thing about combat that actually is enlivening. What's that quote?
Yeah, I mean, I think people sometimes think that the sort of adrenaline junkie, you know, war response that young men have is sort of a product of the video generation. But actually, George Washington, after his first experience in combat in the 1750s in western Pennsylvania in a brief firefight against the French, he wrote in a letter later to somebody, he said, he talked about the sound of the bullets whistling past his head and said that it was a thrilling sound. And right there, I was like, ah, he had it too.
What's thrilling about combat?
I think the consequences are so enormous. They're life and death, and there is a very, very intense unity of purpose in the unit that you're with.
Coming home for some soldiers is difficult because when we're deployed, you know, you're living next to your closest buddies. You wake up in the morning and you brush your teeth in the sink next to them, and then you go eat breakfast, and then you go patrol. There's a lot of unspoken communication amongst those groups. There's a lot of understanding. And then all of a sudden, boom, you're by yourself. It's comforting to live in a group. And when that's gone, it can be a very difficult adjustment to make.
I think for you in the film and some of the others who you spoke with, going into combat is a way of testing yourself, a way of becoming a man. I think that's even a quote from the film.
Yeah, I mean, combat has been used as a passage into manhood for thousands of years across societies, across cultures. And I think there's the sort of remnants of that idea in Western society as well. And you have a lot of young people growing up like I did in a comfortable suburb. And as a young man, you feel like you've never really been tested and have never really proven yourself. And war is one way to feel like you've passed into manhood.
This ongoing conversation that you and the others have over the course of this hike covers all different aspects of this, and most of it's walking and camping about. But then one night, you're hiking along, and you see a dog get hit by a car, and one of the vets really is pretty freaked out by this, and he says the major question of this night is, what's more messed up, if you're freaked out by this or if you're not freaked out by this?
Yeah, it was a really profound question. At that point, we were on a surface road. We were usually on the railroad lines, but once in a while on surface roads. This dog actually was crossing the street to attack us. It was a feral dog. And I was just sort of bracing myself for how to deal with this. And this car came along and hit it completely unintentionally, but it kind of saved us also. the dog, you know, started howling the most ghastly way and died, you know, pretty quickly. But Brendan, one of the vets, you know, all four of us, I should mention, we'd all been in a lot of combat, and none of us were going back to combat. And one of the things we wanted to do was talk about why war is so hard to give up. And during these 300 miles, I have that conversation. And so anyway, Brendan sort of took off running. He was very, very upset. And the other vet, Dave Rolls, when he caught up to us, said, you know, which means, you know, who has the worst PTSD, the guy who's freaked out by that or the guy who isn't at all bothered by something like that?
And in fact, one of the soldiers in the course of the trip decides to go back to combat, right?
Yeah, Dave, the guy who was not bothered by the dog getting hit, he was just bored. He just got bored at home. He got out of the service and he was just bored. And he also, you know, he has a family, he needed to make some money. So he signed up with it wasn't the U.S. military, but it was a private outfit that worked closely with them.
It sounds like for him and maybe for others, that testing yourself and that becoming a man and passing that test, it somehow isn't enough. I mean, you have to keep going back for some.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's going on there is that the, you know, modern society doesn't always utilize young men very well. And young men are capable of incredible effort and really amazing sort of organized activity, and all of that's really thrilling to young men. And war, of course, uses all of those capabilities to the maximum. I met Brendan when I was in Afghanistan with American soldiers. We were at a remote outpost called Restrepo. And out there, I knew him as an incredibly effective soldier. He was a team leader, incredibly focused. And then he comes home to the United States, and he's a mess. Drank way too much, very self-destructive. But when we started doing the last patrol, all of a sudden, I would see the old Brendan that I remembered from Afghanistan. There's a lot of small, miserable tasks to do when you're living outside, pumping water out of a creek, building a fire, putting up the tarps, and after walking all day, you don't want to do those things. Brendan was always the guy who would jump up and do what needed to be done. Sometimes it was running up a hill to see if there was a good place to sleep at the top of a hill. Was there water up ahead? Just so that not everyone would have to walk that distance, he would run it and then come back. And that's the Brendan that I remembered from Afghanistan, and that's what came out during the patrol. There's this very intense experience of brotherhood, of bonding in combat. I mean, you're sleeping shoulder to shoulder with 20, 30, 40 other men in your unit, and totally interreliant. You do everything together. It basically duplicates our evolutionary past as a species. And hunter-gatherer societies are pretty much organized like that. And I think once these young men have been exposed to that incredibly intense, close, intimate human system, they really miss it when they come home to this society, which is really, frankly, very alienated and fragmented.
Based on people you've talked to and what you know, do you think that the same government that sent these men to war has done a good enough job about welcoming them home?
You know, the military is a lot better at organizing an invasion than organizing a homecoming. It's a little like climbing a mountain. I mean, the descent is always like the trickiest part, where people often die, partly because I think there's just a sort of, okay, we've done the hard part now. Now we can just go home. And it's not true. Coming home, I think, is far more complicated and sometimes more painful than the actual experience of combat. And I think the military and the civilian administration is just constitutionally incapable of sort of understanding that and knowing what to do about it. It's very easy to train young men to shoot straight, to maneuver under fire, that kind of thing. Coming home is a much more subtle challenge. It involves, you know, people's psyches and, you know, people's communities and their feelings and stuff like that. And, you know, it's like the military just isn't equipped, maybe no one's equipped, to actually really delve into that.
Sebastian Younger is a journalist, filmmaker, and writer. His latest documentary, Last Patrol, airs on HBO. Younger talked with Ross Reynolds.